Welcome to Gracious Words. Gracious Words is taken from the weekly women's Bible study taught by Cheryl Broderson at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
We behold your glory, God, in the face of Christ. It shows us who you are.
On today's program, we'll look at the supremacy of God's grace. God's grace has the power to not only save us, but continually sustain us through every challenge and trial. And now, here is part one of Cheryl's message, titled, Grace Will Get Us There.
You, therefore, my daughter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful women who will be able to teach others also. I personalized it for you. It's a freebie. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. I never do this, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to break tradition. I'm going to tell you what the title of this message is, because I'm really excited about the title. It's called Grace Will Get Us There. Grace will get us. That's so sweet, Kathy. You even knew the title already. She's a plant. You know, I have to pay her for those. No, she's just a sweetheart. Some of you, in fact, probably all of you know the song Amazing Grace, right? It was published in 1779. It was written by a former slave trader who became an ardent abolitionist and a pastor after he was saved. Interestingly enough, this former slave trader's song is the number one song played in the African American churches. Is that just so God? It's so transforming to work, but it traces the different and varied power and nuances of grace in his life. And I know that we all are familiar with the first line, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And we are here because we know the saving grace that saves rebels and enemies and the undeserving. But it's the third stanza that I want to talk about. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. We're here by grace. You know, once you get saved, the grace doesn't stop. We're reading John 1 on Sunday mornings, and I love that part of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace, or grace for grace. The grace just keeps coming. It doesn't stop just because we're saved. Somehow, sometimes we get into our mind, God saved us, and now it's up to us to do Christianity or to do this right. He brought us this far. Now it's up to us to get to heaven. No, it's up to God's grace. It's his grace that will bring us through every danger, every toil, every trap in this world, and then lead us safely to our ultimate home. Is it any wonder then that Paul would exhort Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? You know, sometimes we lessen grace and we think of it as just the attitude that we're supposed to have towards lost humanity. Like, okay, I'll be patient, I'll be nice, I'll be gracious. We think it's just this attitude, or we think it's acceptance. Or some people even think that it's the ability to sin without recrimination. It's not just an attitude, and it is definitely not permission to sin. It's even more than just the power of God exercised to save us. Grace is God's sufficiency for every deficiency. Every deficiency. God's sufficiency for every deficiency. It doesn't matter what the deficiency is. There is a sufficient grace that has come to us through Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ for whatever that deficiency is that we are facing. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, when Paul was bemoaning his thorn in the flesh, God spoke to him and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. We have this idea in our mind that we say things like, Lord, if I didn't have this, I could serve you so much better. You know, there's that this. Lord, if I didn't have this backache. Lord, if I didn't have this issue. If I didn't have this husband. If I didn't have this house. If I didn't have this, I could serve you so much better. Or we have the other extreme. Lord, if I had this, Lord, if I had more money, I could serve you so much better. You know, like you could say, Lord, if I didn't have these wrinkles, I could serve you so much better. You know, or Lord, if I, you know, had my youth back or energy, I could serve you so much better. I say that a lot when I'm watching my 2-year-old grandson. Lord, if I had more energy, I could be such a better grandmother to this little guy. But Paul knew what it was to be insufficient, to be deficient. And he knew what it was like to have grace come in and fill up that absence, that debt, that place of emptiness. Paul knew what it was to be compelled and empowered by grace. In his letters, Paul had given Timothy some pretty tough assignments. Perhaps you remember, he was to be the pastor of the church in Ephesus. And by reminder, Ephesus was a volatile city. And the people of Ephesus were both idolatrous and into the occult. Then Timothy was to correct those in the fellowship who were causing disputes by giving heed to conspiracy theories and fables and endless genealogies. Not only that, but Paul instructed Timothy to raise up leaders and elders. And that was a pretty tough criteria of what he was to look for. He needed to deal with the issue of the widows in the church, a touchy, touchy issue. And not only that, but Timothy himself had health issues. Timothy, therefore, would need to be strong in the grace that was in Christ Jesus. Timothy also needed to be strong because Paul's death was imminent by condemnation. It's one thing to be friends with somebody who's dying of cancer, and that's hard. But it's worse when somebody is condemned and a prisoner and going to an unfair, unjust death. There's just something about trying to be strong when everything in the world seems wrong. You know what I mean? Everything is just wrong. This shouldn't be happening. This is not right. God, he serves you. It could have been so disillusioning for Timothy. How could God allow one of his greatest servants, Paul, who had established and the churches and promoted the gospel and brought probably thousands of people to Jesus Christ, how could God let him be unjustly arrested, unjustly slandered, unjustly condemned to death by, of all people, Nero, like the worst, most immoral despot in the world? In fact, it was said of Nero that he hung around a gang and they would go out at night, and if they found anybody alone, that they would take that person and torture them for hours before killing them. He did that as an emperor. And it's this emperor that is condemning a godly man. It's not right. It's not fair. Timothy would need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He would no longer be able to depend on Paul for instruction, leadership, or guidance. Timothy would need to be strong in the grace. Not strong in the law of God, not strong even in the instructions that Paul gave him, but he needed to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, because grace will fill every deficit. Now, in speaking of grace, Paul said, in Christ Jesus. Why? Jesus is our source of grace. This is where we go for grace. He gives us that grace that we need for any and every occasion that arises in life. I love 2 Corinthians 9:8. We were talking earlier, and I get to go to a discussion group too, which I love. Talk too much, but I still love it. I'm the one in the group that talks too much. You know that one? It's me. I try to be quiet. I tell myself, you're going to be quiet today. It never works. I just don't have the grace to be quiet yet. I've got to seek it more in Christ Jesus. But I love that scripture where it says, he is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you might have all sufficiency for every good work. He's able to make it abound. Don't you like things that abound? I mean, as long as it's not calories. Don't you like things that abound? Like abundant entrances abound? All grace abound. Like come to you in bucketfuls. He is able to make all grace abound towards you. And then, of course, we know Hebrews 4:16, that we come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. It's right there waiting for us at any time through Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, our source. God's grace would empower Timothy with all the power, fortitude, wisdom that he would need. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 2 through 10, Paul expounds on the ways in which Timothy would need to call on the grace of God. First, he would need God's grace so that he could pass on the things that he had heard and learned from Paul. He would need to remember all that he had heard and learned. Don't you find that remembering takes grace? I mean, I find myself calling my children by the wrong names. And I've known my daughter, Kristen, for 40 years. You know what the worst is? When you call your youngest by your dog's name, they do not like that. Do you do that? Did anyone else go through all the names when you're looking at one of your kids? Like, I know you're not Kristen. I know you're not Brady. Oh, you are Brady. You know, you're going through the list. He would need grace to remember. Don't you love that? You know, I say sometimes, Lord, I've lost my car keys. You know everything. You know my down city and my uprising. You're acquainted with all my ways. Will you tell me where I put them? And he always does. He is so faithful. But he would need to remember all. Now, I think Paul talked a lot. Paul says, remember all that I told you. You're like, did you tell me something? Do you ever have that? Like, remember what I said. You said something, Brian, and I know it was really edifying. And it was so good. He would need to remember all that he had heard and learned. He would need to pass those lessons on and in order to faithful men. Faithful men. How was Timothy to know who was faithful and not faithful? He would need grace. He would need grace to discern who the faithful men were. Men that would listen, men that would treasure it, men that would hold fast to it, and men who would pass it down to others. But committing it to others, just that act of committing all the things that Paul had said and all that Timothy had learned about God, committing it, teaching it, imparting it to others would take grace, not only to teach it, but you know, it takes an atmosphere of grace for someone to receive instruction. I don't receive instruction if somebody is arrogant. I'm too busy thinking about how arrogant they are. You know, if somebody's like, you know, I hate finger-pointing Bible studies. You and you and you and you need this and you need that. I do not like those Bible studies. But when the pastor gets up there and says, don't we all need grace? And I'm like, you're my buddy. You're my friend. I will listen. When I feel loved, I will listen. But when I feel that there's competition, when I feel that there's another spirit, I won't listen. I won't receive. But the atmosphere of grace, like teaching Sunday school, when you ask a question and the kids get it wrong, you don't go, you aren't listening. No, you go, that's a really great answer. But Disneyland was not the answer I was looking for. And you lead them to the right answer because you want them to keep talking. You want them to keep listening and answer you back and learn. And so you're working with them. The atmosphere of grace will draw you out. So you're never afraid someone's going to go, that was a stupid answer. You're not afraid of being demeaned or humiliated by asking a question. Did you ever have one of those teachers that you were so afraid to ask a question? I did. Mrs. Tuttle. She was so scary. I still remember her. It was second grade. She was terrifying. You would ask a question, she'd be like, I mean, just, you know, you never knew if she was going to say, good question, or, you stupid idiot, I just said that 10 minutes ago, weren't you listening? And so I never asked questions. I was too scared. And I didn't do well in second grade. By the time I was in third grade, I loved that teacher. She was so nice. They wanted to skip fourth grade with me and put me right in fifth. It was the teacher. It was the teacher. It was not my smartness. The teacher had such grace and fun in the classroom. I was willing to listen and learn. Grace puts a learning environment, grace and love. We need grace so we can give grace. We need grace so we can act in grace. We need an environment in our houses of grace. We need a grace environment that people don't come in and go, oh, do I have to take off my shoes? Oh, I see your floors are clean. Are you sure you want me? You're like, ah, it's grace. Can't you see my grandkids have already been in here? Everything's wrecked in my house. There's already a hole in something, somewhere, any place. Just don't look closely. But you're welcome in at any time. An atmosphere of grace is the best atmosphere to learn in. So Timothy would need to be strong in the grace of God so he could remember, so he could discern, so he could commit. T. Timothy would need grace to endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Grace helps us to endure. We get through hardship. Again, like the song said, through many dangers, toils, and snares. Paul knew what hardship was, and he did it. He endured by the grace of God. This is the voice of experience that is talking to Timothy. Have you ever had one of those days that you didn't know if you were going to make it through? Ever have one of those days where you're looking at your week and you're like, Lord, I don't know if I can make it this week. I don't know. I've had weeks where I didn't know if I could get out of bed or put one foot in front of the other. I didn't know. I remember having surgery, and they come into your room and they say, okay, it's time to stand up. You're like, no, I'm not supposed to stand up. I just had surgery. Yep, it's time to stand up. No. Yes, and walk. No, I don't. Did you see what surgery I had? I think I'm supposed to be in bed for like a month, and you're just supposed to feed me. And they're like, nope, you're going to get up and walk. And then, you're walking with your liquids, right? The fluids that are going in your body. I call that a thing that you have to walk around with, Norman. And so, you have to walk around with Norman everywhere you go. And they're like, nope, you can do this. And you just need grace. You need grace. Recovery takes grace. I've had so many times. I remember after my dad died, I was like, Lord, I'm not going to make it through this day. I don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to make it through tomorrow. I don't know how to do life without my dad. I've never had to do life without my dad. He's always been this constant. And then with my mom, when she was getting sicker and when she was moved to Oceanside, I don't know how I'm going to do life without my mom, without being able to call. But grace comes in. The grace of Jesus Christ comes in and fills those deficits. I've had sometimes so much pressure on me to write and to get deadlines. And you're thinking, I can't make this deadline. I just had that with taxes. Lord, I even have somebody that helps me with my taxes, and I'm always dreading taxes. I'm always afraid Uncle Sam is just after me for something. There's a grace that comes through Jesus Christ that puts you on autopilot. All I know is that I'm not doing it. It's Jesus doing it through me. It's Jesus hugging people that have said horrid things about me. It's Jesus telling them that I love them. It's Jesus. He's doing through me and using my body as a weapon of righteousness, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6. To work his work, and all I've done was strengthen myself in the grace, knowing that God can do what Cheryl can't do. God is not limited. He can still do it, move my limbs, giving me the right words to say, speaking through me. God's grace will get us through hardship. Grace would keep Timothy from getting entangled in the wrong battles or struggles. A good soldier doesn't get entangled with the minutiae of civilian life. A good soldier is always seeking to please his company's commander. So grace reminds us that our allegiance is owed to the great grace giver, Jesus. Remember, Paul had told Timothy, do not get entangled with those conspiracy theories, and those fables, and those endless genealogies. Don't get involved in that kind of stuff. Stay away from it.
God's grace is not only for salvation, but it is an ongoing source of strength for every situation in life. Paul shows us how grace fills every deficit and empowers us through life's challenges and trials. Often we think we're alone and must rely on our own efforts, but grace says otherwise. Grace is God's continual provision for us. Paul uses his own life as an example, and through it demonstrates how God's grace is abundant, sufficient, and always available for every need. We hope you have been blessed by today's Bible study. For more information about the Gracious Words radio program and the teaching ministry of Cheryl Broderson, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. Coming up next time on the Gracious Words program, we'll look further at grace as we continue our series, Letters to Lead, Live, and Love By, in the second epistle to Timothy with Cheryl Broderson. We do hope you make plans to join us. Again, for more information, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.